The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We will talk now, though, about those rent prices that Eamon mentioned in the news headlines. So confirmation that the average rents have climbed above €2,000 a month for the first time in Dublin. I know there's already people texting and giving out about mentioning average rents. Somebody in Dunleary paying well over €3,000 a month for a long, long time. So these are just the averages. But like I say, first time it's crossed that particular Rubicon. Now, if we accept the definition of insanity is doing the same thing but expecting a different result, it begs the questions, what do we do about rent pressure zones? Do you abandon them or relax them and let the market determine the rent more often? Or do you go the other way? Do you introduce something stronger, more robust rent controls to protect those who want to keep a roof over their heads? With me to debate and discuss, Eamon O'Brien, the Sinn Féin housing spokesperson, and Marion Finnegan, the managing director of Sherry Fitzgerald. You're both very welcome. Marion, what do you think we should do with regard to the rent controls we have in this country, rent pressure zones? Keep them as is, relax them, make them stronger.
I think the biggest challenge we have, really, when you look at rental pressure zones, it's like, how do you get somewhere? I wouldn't start here. The rental pressure zones are in of themselves. They sound like a good idea. And certainly if you are a renter and you say the concept of somebody who's looking for somewhere to rent, for rental pressure zones to be removed would be archaic. They would think that's not something we should do. However, the challenge we have with rental pressure zones is that it creates a dampening of supply. So what we've seen for about a decade now is a mass exodus of private investors from the market. Not all because of rental pressure zones, but it's one of the factors, that on taxation and regulation and a variety of other things. The solution at the time was perceived to be that the large PRS sector, the private rental sector, would come in and build and replace what we were losing from the private investors. That began to occur, but never really was 100% effective. And with rising interest rates and the combination of those rising interest rates and the rental pressure zones, we're now seeing a much lower level, in fact, a very significantly lower level of PRS investors. So the challenge we have in the marketplace is that supply is incredibly tight and falling with a rising demographic and a rising need. So we need to look at this from where we are now. You can't just abolish something that's been in place for as long as rental pressure zones have been in place. We certainly need to alter the future.
And in what way would you alter it? Alter it for new entrants to the market to encourage supply?
Yes, I think that's the starting point. So you look and say, historically, investors came into the housing market typically through new homes in the first instance. If you abolish all the rental pressure zones for existing properties, you will call it immediate rent inflation. But if you start with new homes and bring in, I would actually go a step further, say remove rental pressure zones from new units being built and incentivize private investments in that category. That would be the beginning of turning the point. Two things we talk about a lot in housing. One, a lot of things, but prices, rents and stock. And one of the factors that has deterred the rise in construction activity is the exodus of the PRS sector from the market. So we absolutely need to get this right, not just for those that are renting in the marketplace, for the competitiveness of our economy and for future stock levels. They're all interconnected.
Eamon O'Brien, what would you do with rent pressure zones?
Well, I certainly wouldn't do what Minister James Brown is considering doing based on his interview with the Irish Examiner today. In that interview, he seems to indicate that, one, he may well return the cap to 4%. It was 4% and then reduced to 2%. And the second is he seems to indicate that he is buckling to industry demands to allow rents to be reset at the market rent in between tenancies. RPZs currently don't apply to new stock. The difficulty with both of those things is that it will lead to very significant rental inflation for renters who are already crippled. It's not just today's Daft.ie report, but last week we had the Residential Tenancies Board report on new rents, on new rent registered tenancies and existing rents. And no matter which report you look at, renters are paying huge sums of money. So the real issue is actually what kind of supply do we need to get into the market to meet those people's needs? And I suppose the one area where I would disagree with Marion is, if you look at who's living in the private rental sector, about a third want to be in social housing. They're currently subsidised through HAPRAS or Rent Supplement. Mm-hmm. But also a very significant number of people want to either be in affordable rental, affordable purchase or private owner occupation. What government is not doing enough of is A, directly delivering much, much greater volumes of social, affordable rental and affordable purchase homes for people who are today trapped in an expensive and insecure private rental sector to give them a pathway out. Likewise, the government is not doing enough to support small and medium-sized builder developers to build houses, duplexes and apartments for people to buy. Until they fix those two supply issues, what will happen is far too many people are going to be pushed into a private rental sector they don't want to be in. Marion is absolutely right. We've seen a significant departure of single property landlords who have been the mainstay of a private rental sector over a number of years. And there are many reasons, including landlords approaching pension age and wanting that pension pot lump sum. But if anybody thinks abolishing or changing rent pressure zones to allow new institutional landlords to jack up rent even further is going to tackle the supply problem, they're sorely mistaken. The primary reason why we've seen the slowdown in institutional investment that Marion has mentioned in the private rental sector is rising ECB interest rates, but also the really, really significant increases in the cost of delivery of those units. We've huge numbers of planning permissions out there for apartments that are never getting built. And if government thinks putting more pressure on renters to fix that viability problem is the solution, they will be sorely mistaken. So actually, I have
to
say...
There's a global uncertainty thing though as well, isn't there? That kind of international capital will seek out safe havens when there's a degree of uncertainty.
They will,
and some would suggest that that's partly what happens here as well.
Well, if we look at what happened with the private rental sector and the institutional investment sector, it was a series of ECB interest rate hikes that began the initial slowdown. That was coupled with obviously rising construction sector inflation and viability challenges. And sure, some institutional investors and some funds are saying, well, they can't do anything about those. If they were able to charge more rent in between tenancies, or if they didn't have the caps at all, that could solve their problem. But at what cost? And that cost is hitting working people with ever greater rents. And as it is, we can't get teachers to live in our cities. Yeah. We can't get retail workers to live in our cities because rents are far too high. So that is not the solution.
So it's your contention that if you look at the people who are living in rental accommodation now and you look at how many of them actually want to own their own home, be it a social or affordable home, or own their own apartment, that actually you increase that supply significantly, and as a consequence, the availability, kind of the demand actually drops as opposed to a massive increase in supply in the rental market.
And we do, of course, need an increase in private rental stock, but it should not be government's priority. In fact, what's really interesting, if you look at the completion figures for new homes last year, it wasn't actually the private sector that missed the targets. It was governments that missed their targets by about 3,000 social and affordable units. But also over the last 5 years, if you look at the overall distribution of new private sector supply, far too much of it has been private rental versus owner occupation. So government has the wrong approach. And in the meantime, renters are getting punished and punished heavily, even within existing tenancies where rent increases have been a little bit more modest than in new tenancies. We're still seeing very, very significant rent inflation for long-standing tenants. And in the middle of a cost of living crisis, they simply cannot bear that. So punishing them with even greater levels of rents is not the solution.
Marion, might that be the solution then? Increasing the supply of homes for occupation, but for home ownership, and that thereby, I guess, what you're dealing with there is more the demand picture rather than the supply picture on the rental market.
Of course, it's part of the solution. But what Owen isn't saying is that if you look at the migratory inflows every year, the first thing that people need to do when they come into the country is have accommodation available to them to rent. So we can't just stand and say, look at the standing demand that's there now. In all of history, everyone that was renting would have had a view that they would like an alternative accommodation. Of course, a lot of us started in the rental markets and then chose to buy. And when we were able to take that step. But we always in Ireland focus too much in on first-time buyers and social housing. And we forget, before any of that occurs, we do need a viable rental market. And what I am suggesting is not to put additional pressure on rents, on renters, and ask rents to rise. What I'm suggesting to do is to bring more stock to the marketplace and create choice. Rents will only require any type of pressure zones or will only rise rapidly if there isn't enough choice available. Once choice comes to the market, rents will stabilise. But we can't just say build more houses, more social houses or more houses for people to live in and buy if we don't deal with the rental pressure, the rental challenge first. And it's probably a much bigger challenge than any of the other challenges facing. And something Owen said there, that it wasn't the private sector that missed the target. We need to double our output. Everybody has missed the target. If you're building 30,000 houses and you need somewhere between 55 and 60, every single part of that hasn't met the target.
Well, you're adding them on the need for supply. I mean, the exact nature or the kind of ratio of owner-occupier versus rent maybe is the point of disagreement. But Owen, before we wrap things up, how confident are you that we can actually deliver the supply, however it's made up, when you look at the commencement notice data that we got relatively recently?
Yeah, and 2 months in a row, March and April, commencement at their lowest levels for a decade. Now, part of that, of course, is because the figures are themselves skewed because some builder developers availed of commencement notice deadlines last year to get a waiver on their development levies and water connection fees, but didn't actually start commencement. But it's still very, very worrying. What I will say is, if you listened to the experts who were involved in the delivery of both public and private sector housing, if you read the Housing Commission's policy recommendations or own alternative housing plan, there are ways to increase and accelerate supply. And Marion is right. We need to increase all levels of supply, but the priority has to be good quality, secure, affordable homes. They are best delivered through social housing, affordable rental, affordable purchase, as well as private owner occupation. And while, yes, we do need more private rental supply, the idea that we should either allow rents to rise or give developers tax breaks so they can charge people €3,000 a month plus is not a solution anywhere that I am looking. So I think we need government to fundamentally change their approach. And my worry is, when I look at the minister, he seems to be suggesting that he can buckle to industry demands to rise rents and protect renters at the same time. You can't. And we need far greater protection for renters as government and the private sector is increasingly accelerating the supply that people need. And what do people need? Secure, adequate and affordable homes, not 2,000, 2,500 to 3,000 euros a month.
One listener says, I just don't understand how rents have skyrocketed when salaries haven't. As a renter, I feel so strapped and terrified. I can't save and I can't move. You can't build a life when you're constantly worried about the roof over your head. And somebody else says, stop referring to the cities alone. Have you tried to rent in a smaller town with smaller wages lately? Rent inflation is countrywide. You're absolutely right, it is. The only reason we mention Dublin is because of that 2,000 euro Rubicon. We like nice round numbers here.
But some of the most dramatic rental inflation has actually been in our rural counties,
absolutely.
In our towns.
The rate of inflation has been much bigger outside Dublin,
ten
actually.
10 counties have had double-digit rent inflation, both from today's report and last week's report, and many of those are rural or small town settings as well, absolutely.
Owen O'Brien, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing. Marion Finnegan, Managing Director of Sherry Fitzgerald. Marion and Owen, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.